Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans. But before we go into the sermon, let me remind you about our website at shiarjashub.org. Make it your site for serious Bible study and access to hundreds of free Bible study radio programs and videos. That's shiarjashub.org. Here is Pastor Greg Scalzo.
The last time in our series on the book of Romans, we began reading the book of Romans, and remember my contention that one of the main themes that Paul is addressing in the epistle is why we need Jesus. I believe it's there as Paul discusses the Lord's work with the Jews and with the Gentiles. Also remember as I introduce this letter that a key word, a key concept was foreknowledge, to know beforehand. We discussed this when we studied Paul's message to Agrippa. And I'd like for a few minutes to go back into the Old Testament, and we're in the section on David. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, it ties in to the study in the book of Romans. We're going to look at a different focus than what we did when we were looking at Samuel coming to anoint David king the last time in the Heavenly Authority series. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, the prophet, the judge Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul?'" At this point, Saul has gone far away. Saul has been rejected as king by God. He says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil," this is the anointing oil, "and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Now, literally, that word there, provided, if you remember, is seen. I have seen myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" And the Lord pays no attention to Samuel's fear. Go do this. It has to be done. "Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you." And we talked in detail in the Heavenly Authority series about the anointing, about the anointed one, David as a type of Messiah. Now, I won't go into all that now. Verse 4, "So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify, set apart yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" This has to be him. "God's told me that one of Jesse's sons is the one I have to anoint. He'll be the king to replace Saul. Look at Eliab. Look at this son of Jesse. Surely the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's anointed one, the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. The man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. When you look at Eliab in verse 6 and 7, Samuel, now remember, he's an old man. He's been a prophet of the Lord for many years. He started as a small boy in the tabernacle in Shiloh under Eli. So his whole life has been saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And yet even Samuel can get fooled, right? He sees Eliab, and this by his stature, by his countenance, his physical stature, his countenance, this has to be the chosen of the Lord. And God says, no, I have refused him. Some of your translations will say, I have rejected him. The Hebrew means to spurn, to cast away, to refuse, to reject, to despise, to disdain. You know, in the letter of Romans, the issue comes up about God choosing, right? And how does God choose? The end result here is that David will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. David will be anointed as king. How does God choose? Matter of fact, if you look in verse 8, neither has the Lord chosen this one. You look at verse 9, neither has the Lord chosen this one. You look at verse 10, the Lord has not chosen these. That word in the Hebrew is bokah, bokah. Comes from a primitive root to mean to try, and then by implication to select, to choose. The choosing or the election of persons. The choosing or the election of persons. And there's a noun, that's the verb, to choose, there's a noun. Bokia comes from bokah. And it means chosen, chosen one, the elect, the chosen one. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 13. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his bokia, his chosen ones, the chosen ones. In Nehemiah chapter 9, this is one good one to look at. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7. You are the Lord God who chose Bokah, Abram, and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you, and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. Predestination of God. He works it out. He performs what he promises. He chooses Bokah. He chooses Abraham, right? You found, what does it say in verse 8? You found his heart faithful before you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37. Because he loved, Moses tells them, because he loved your forefathers and chose Bokah, their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength. Because he what? He loved your forefathers. That word love. Notice some of the words connected with Bokah, to choose, the chosen ones. Israel is the chosen people. Love and heart, right? You found his heart faithful before you. The Greek Septuagint. We all know what the Greek Septuagint is, right? Written before Jesus' time as the Jewish people are dispersed, right? The whole civilized world becomes Hellenized, Greek culture spreads, they start to lose the Hebrew Aramaic language, many of them, as they're dispersed. They're speaking what would be English today as a common language, Greek back then. That's why the New Testament is written in Greek. And so the rabbis translate the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, when Jesus reads the scroll, what's written down there is really from the Septuagint, the Greek version. In the Septuagint version, the verb to choose, bakar, is chiefly translated by the Greek word eklego, to pick, to select, to choose. And that word then becomes very important in the theological concept in the New Testament of God's choosing as it comes into the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us in him, eklego, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, right? And then from that word, that verb to choose, eklego, you get the noun chosen, eklektos, elect. You hear it? We get the word elect from it, right? The chosen, the favorite, the elect. These are the chosen of God. Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's chosen, electos, right? Same basic understanding as you have in the Old Testament for God's chosen ones, the chosen. Bakia, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, this one, he says in verse 12, arise, anoint him. This is the one. He's God's choice. David is God's choice. But how does God choose? How does God elect? How does he make his choice? How is David the chosen one? Same words coming in from the Hebrew into the Greek, same concept behind the words, I should say, coming from the Hebrew into the Greek. How does God choose?
You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, Rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. And the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling.